This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ripped.
NASCAR.
Four-time Cup champion, Jeff Gordon.
I definitely know where you're coming from, and that's what it really truly takes.
IndyCar.
She's the newest IndyCar Series winner, Danica Patrick.
I know. Yeah, let's do it.
Formula One.
From the driver's perspective, David Hobbs.
To not have a race in North America, to me, is frankly appalling.
Sports car.
He's been unstoppable in the factory Corvettes, Johnny O'Connell.
It's very cool to be talking to you this time all the way from Le Mans, France.
And NHRA drag racing.
NHRA funny car champ, John Force.
Big money, all the money, dude. It's just a race everybody wants to win.
WFO Radio is Total Motorsports.
Bring it on.
Fasten your seatbelts. Fire up the ignition. And drop the hammer. Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio Ignition. We're going to recap the Irwin Tools night race at Bristol, baby. Bristol. And this edition of WFO is a little bit early. And so let me talk to you, first-time listener. Let me break it down for you. You just clicked the link. One of your friends tweeted it at you or retweeted it or you saw it or you got a push notification from an app you just downloaded. Here's the deal. It's a show. We do a couple of hours. We talk racing each week and we have a nice audience that is very cool. They join us each week and we would like you to be a member of the audience and come back and get in on the humor and whatever it is that we're doing here. So if you're a first-time listener, we invite you to check out this edition of the show. Hopefully you will like it, subscribe, and check back on a weekly basis. We also have an NHRA drag racing show. And coincidentally, this particular week is the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis, Indiana, and WFO Radio will be there. That might be why you're getting this show a little bit early. So first-time listener and all listeners, be sure to subscribe and listen to all our stuff from Indianapolis, brought to you by the great folks at Redline Synthetic Motor Oil. It is going to be great. We're going to do all kinds of great shows out there at the 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. All right, the welcome message is over. Time to get into the Irwin Tools night race. We're going to talk about our fantasy league. We're going to talk IndyCar. We're going to talk Formula One. We're going to get into the whole racing world. I might throw in a thing or two about drones, and we all know who is most afraid of the drones. Giovanni in Miami joins us on the phone line. Where are you? What's going on?
Dude, I'm hiding. I heard there's drones around.
What are you under? You're hiding under your bed.
I'm hiding under the desk.
Really? After your fantasy football failure draft, you're sobbing in the fetal position under the bed.
Look, don't blame me. It's your friend that's the commissioner that's a failure.
Big mistake, as we'll get into it a little bit later on in the show, and I'll explain some of the details about the thing. We're not going to do a WFO Fantasy Football League, but many people around the country know that the drafting is happening at various times. The fantasy football drafts are happening, and we had a little calamity in ours. But hey, those are the breaks. You know, I mentioned the drones last week on the show. I said we're going to talk about drones, and then I never talked about the drones. Why didn't you bring that up?
Oh, I wonder why.
It was on the front page of the USA Today last week that Amazon is pushing the government to allow the drones. They are going full bore about the testing. They see pizzas, they see packages, they see just about anything you can imagine delivered by drones.
I see Skynet. I see the end of humanity.
Our great friend and producer and videographer, Carlos Hockenstuff, has piloted a drone recently. Do you know about that?
Oh, boy.
For $1,500, you can get a drone that will run like a pattern, like hover above Giovanni in Miami's house for 5 minutes and then go to point B, the park, and hover at 400 feet. And then go back to the house, and then go back to the park, and fly a grid, basically, over your neighborhood. And that's all for less than $2,000.
No thanks.
Yeah, well, it's happening, and you don't even have a say in it. That's the scary part about it. It's going to happen. It's going to be just like in Phantom Menace. Not Phantom Menace. The first one. Star Wars 1. Was that the Phantom Menace?
I don't even know anymore.
That planet. The planet with all the crazy things flying around. That's exactly how it's going to be. Get ready for Earth 2025. All kinds of things flying around. It's happening, old man.
I hate you.
Well, don't hate me, man.
I hate the drones.
I hate the drones.
This is horrible. I can't stand it here. I want out.
Listen, don't go, you know, crazy on me here. It's just a flying little craft. You gotta get with it. All right, Joey Logano wins the race. We did not pick a winner on WFO Radio.
Unfortunately, we did not, but we did come in second, which is the first loser.
Exactly, and who got second? That was me, right?
You got second, yeah. Bob got third,
and Brad,
I got fifth.
Brad K. was really closing in, but obviously isn't going to take out his teammate, and you got a Penske 1-2. They were clearly very strong, but most importantly, I think this was a very entertaining Bristol race. Remember the new Bristol and all the resurfacing and all the time, and we had kind of lost a little of the character. I kind of felt like the character was back. We had some people hot under the collar. We had Denny Hamlin throw his Hans device. We had some good side-by-side racing and some contact. That's what Bristol is all about. I think that Bristol is back.
Yeah, you know what happens? It's when you repave a track, it changes, and it takes a while for it to get its own character or get some kind of feel back while the drivers get used to whatever it is going to be now.
That, they had to regrind it, they made some changes, but absolutely, it takes a while to get used to something new. You're not going to nail it the first time out. It's going to take at least three opportunities, and I think we saw it. Kevin Harvick was on the pole, and a lot of action. Things sticking out in my mind, Kyle Busch just shooting himself in the foot once again, speeding on pit road while leading under a competition caution. What's going on with this guy?
Well, he's got to win early. He's in the chase, and history will tell you he never really wins in the late part of the year anyway, so I think this is just Kyle Busch holding par.
The stats do not lie. I don't know. I'm kind of interested to see how it all turns out. But the self-inflicted errors, that has always been my biggest stat. If you want to win, don't make mistakes. Because you can, like in football, what's the biggest mistake you're going to make, Giovanni? A pick six? Is that really?
Yeah, turning the ball over.
And right, pick six. Greatest possible inflicted error. And you can get it right back on the next play. How many times do you see Peyton Manning throw a pick six and then get right back on the field and throw a touchdown and you're back to even? It's not like that in NASCAR. When you get a speeding penalty on a track like Bristol, suddenly you're at the back of the pack where you are susceptible to get into someone else's mess, a crash like Brian Vickers, and guess what? You're out of the race. And that is exactly what happened to Kyle Busch. It's just one of those rules. You cannot take yourself out of the lead. And that's exactly what Kyle Busch did. But he wasn't the only one while leading the race. Kevin Harvick takes out Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin? Was it Money Man who picked Denny Hamlin? Was that last week?
Could be Hamlin.
What do you mean it could be? It is. The Money Man was in the studio. He took Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin was leading the race. Kevin Harvick was second, and he just takes out Hamlin. He took the blame for it, misjudged it, but come on. You got, what was it, like lap 160? Harvick didn't want to crack the throttle. Come on. Like, I can't help but think, come on, Harvick, just lift off the throttle. Nope, you're out. And, of course, that's what irritated me. That took out Dale Earnhardt Jr., was taken out.
Yeah, your guy guessed wrong.
Well, no, he didn't guess wrong. He just, there was nowhere to go. He stayed up high, and here comes Hamlin, coming at him.
Right, well, in that choice, you either go up high or you go down low, and he went high, and he guessed wrong.
I don't think going low was even possible in that deal. I think, though, the junior fans, I'm not against seeing a little bad luck happen right before the chase. If you're into
well, it's better than right into the chase.
Well, superstitious types like to get bad luck out of the way. And
agreed.
Bad luck is now out of the way. So Danny goes nuts, throws the Hans device, which was totally legal. So we got our little action shot there. Maybe the sport won't be so different with the new don't approach other cars rule, as long as they've got something to throw.
So well, what was the deal? He got out of the car. He didn't go on the track. Is that why it's okay?
He didn't go on the track. He stayed with the safety workers, and he was being guided by them. He's just got a good arm and was able to throw the Hans device far.
All right. Hey, have at it, boys.
Exactly. Well, I think it just goes to show you, though, that we should not be afraid of making a rule or two because the drivers will adapt. Why didn't Denny Hamlin go out on the track and challenge Kevin Harvick in his car?
Because they just put a rule out against it.
Because they just put a rule out against it. So what did he do? He found another way to show his displeasure. And it was entertaining, and everybody cheered, and it was exciting. And nobody in that place is saying, wow, I really wish Denny Hamlin would have ran out onto the track. That would have been better. Nobody's saying that. That's all. Casey Kane, screaming.
Oh, you fail. Fail me. I will never pick you again in the fantasy, Casey Kane. Never.
Yeah, right. The nickname KFK has never been more appropriate. KFK. If you're a new listener, you're going to have to guess what the F stands for in Casey F. Kane. Good luck. He was wailing on there, though. You saw a little anger with Greg Biffle. Then late pit stop, Harvick is speeding. And, of course, Joy wins. Final results of the Irwin Tools night race. Joey Logano. Joy. His third win of the season. Absolutely a breakout year for the kid known as Sliced Bread, just 24 years old, his sixth career win. Pretty impressive. Brad Keselowski was second, and Matt Kenseth, who led a ton of laps, was third. Let's hear from the winner, Joy, Joey Logano.
It's a really big one. You know, I feel like the Bristol night race is maybe the third or fourth biggest race of the year. Just the atmosphere before the race. I mean, if it doesn't pump you up, nothing does. It's just the, you know, baddest mamma jamma racetrack ever built. It's so much fun to go around, and you got to hustle the car so hard, and it's something we don't typically have. We talked a little bit about it the other day when I was in here about how hard you had to drive the car and wondering if it was going to be like that in the race. And, yes, we had to drive the car that hard in the race to go fast, and it means a lot to be able to get this victory. And obviously Penske with the 1-2 finish there, and all three of Team Penske drivers being able to get a win with Brad in a truck and then Ryan last night, and then ourselves trying to put the cherry on the top here in a cup race. So it's just all of us got a win. Everyone's happy. So definitely a very special weekend for Team Penske to be able to do that, and for Ford. And right now the momentum we have and the cars that we have, we've been fast at every type of racetrack. And I wish we were in Atlanta tomorrow. Well, maybe not tomorrow. I'm going to enjoy tomorrow, but Monday sounds good.
Bad Mamma Jamma? He loves Bristol, baby. He loves it.
It's a big race. It's a big one, one of the big ones.
I felt like the attendance obviously has been better, but it is directionally correct, as in there was more excitement building up. It was a great race. So next year, if you live in that area, of course you're going back. There was a skip in the matrix with the resurfacing, and people were protesting. I think after this race, it's going to get going again. So Joey Logano wins the race. Brad Keselowski was second. That was my pick. Matt Kenseth third. Jimmy Johnson, after speeding early, gets back to fourth. Kurt Busch fifth, even though he damaged Jeff Gordon's car and kind of ended Gordon's night. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. sixth. Carl Edwards seventh. Jamie McMurray eighth. And Paul Menard ninth, with Greg Biffle rounding out the top ten. Biffle got into it a little bit with Lil Gator, Justin Allgaier, and was angry, which is what we want to see. Kevin Harvick, 11th. How about Harvick speeding on pit road on that final pit stop? All my analysis about self-inflicted errors. Remember at the beginning of the year, Harvick was having all kinds of pit stop issues with his crew? This one was on him.
Yeah, isn't that the way it goes sometimes when you're always constantly having problems in the pits? Eventually you're the one that messes up. But Harvick's got two wins. He's pretty safe in there. They're just getting their stuff going.
Jamie McMurray led 148 laps, by the way.
Had a really strong car. I thought he was going to be the next guy on the block.
Didn't you mention in the pick segment that if you were in Vegas, you would put something down on Jamie McMurray?
I mentioned McMurray. I mentioned the boyfriend.
The boyfriend did well. Sixth.
Yeah.
Got to give credit. Paul Menard, ninth. Greg Biffle, tenth. Kevin Harvick, 11th. Kyle Larson, 12th. Ryan Newman, 13th. A.J. Allmendinger, 14th. Jeff Burton filling in for your boy Tony Stewart. And no Tony Stewart. Again, we are obviously waiting. We're doing this show since there is travel going on to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Folks, once again, we're doing Ignition early in the week, and you know that because you received Ignition early in the week. So as of now, we don't know what's going to happen with Tony Stewart. Clearly, this horrible tragedy is affecting your driver greatly, and there is no telling when he will come back. There's no telling if he will come back this year. I would imagine he will come back for next year. I think he'll come back for this year. Perhaps he's waiting for the final results of the police report. What do you think is going on, Tony Stewart fan?
Next question.
Come on, man. Get with
there's,
it.
There's nothing to talk about, man. This is just getting worse and worse. It's depressing as a fan. It's, you know, with every week that goes by, the odds of him never returning increase exponentially.
See, I don't think so.
I just thought, you know, there's nothing for me to say. Next question.
I think that Tony will be back in the car for the 2015 Daytona 500. Yes or no? Tony Stewart races in the 2015 Daytona 500.
Yes, 50-50.
50-50?
Yep.
No, I think it's all but certain. I say 90%.
Well, we'll see. He hasn't come back in the car yet. It's been 3 weeks. Like I said, with every week, it just seems a lot easier for him never to come back.
Jeff Gordon was 16th, Clint Bowyer 17th, Michael McDowell 18th, Justin Allgaier, Logier, 19th, Martin Truex Jr. 20th, 21st, Brian Vickers. Vickers got into that incident that ended up taking out Eric Almirola and others, Kyle Busch included. Landon Castle 22nd, David Reagan 23rd, Reed Sorensen 24th, 25th, David Gilliland 26th, Casey Mears 27th, Danica Patrick. And now the drivers, they're staring at Danica's rear end. Austin Dillon, 28th. Josh Wise, Cole Witt, David Stremme. The Strembolis, how are the Strembolis doing? Alex,
yeah.
Do you remember this?
I sure do.
One of the greatest nicknames ever, the Strembolis. Oh, Tommy Noodles. Alex Bowman, J.J. Yaley, Marcus Ambrose, KFK, Kyle Busch, Ryan Truex, Michael Annette, Dale Jr., Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, and that Super Purdy, number 43, Ford, Brett Moffitt, and Dave Blaney, all staring at Danica's rear end in the Irwin Tools night race. It was a very interesting race and a very interesting weekend. I thought it was cool seeing Ryan Blaney beat Kyle Busch toe-to-toe, head-to-head. All kinds of interesting angles going on in the Irwin Tools night race. Or Bristol
weekend. I actually thought that Ryan Blaney beating Kyle Busch in that nationwide race was more than cool. That was awesome. That made it super exciting. I was not happy to see Kyle Busch dominate, and very, very happy to see one of the young guns coming up and essentially just snooker him on the restart. Kyle just couldn't handle it. I didn't like him making Jamie Little chase him down after the race. That was all very Busch League, no pun intended. But what are you going to do? It's Kyle Busch. We know he's a baby, and that's probably why he'll never win.
Still a malcontent. That's exactly the point. The tide of Kyle Busch has kind of risen and is fading. He's still a great talent and all, but I agree. We never talk nationwide racing on this, and we can bring it back up a little bit later after the fantasy segment and all. But I found it to be so exciting to watch all these new talent. Like, where is the future of the sport coming from? Which of these drivers will be the future of the sport? Who is going to be a standout? It's so much better than watching the guys that you see every Sunday just race again in a lesser series for less money. The fact that Ty Dillon is out there, it's just so much better. Yeah, the Kyle Busch being there, I guess, was good because he got beaten. But I agree, the Jamie Little thing, there's the next rule for NASCAR. You want to, we're talking about making rules. Here's a rule. Ready? I don't know how you're going to do this. But when the rights holder of the television contract tries to interview you, you must stop. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You can't have someone chasing you across the parking lot trying to interview, trying to talk to you as you both are walking. Someone's going to fall and bust their head open.
Simple as that. Jamie Little had to hop over a wall while interviewing Kyle Busch on camera. That's just discourteous. It's not chivalrous. She is still a woman, and while she can do everything that men can do equally just as well, it's just rude. It's just a bad example. What is the point, Kyle Busch? Why must you be a kind of a jerk every time you're on camera? Why not just stop? Jamie, I'm not happy. Obviously, this is the reason, etc. and so on. Yada, yada, lobster bisque, I'm out. And then continue to walk. No, he's got to keep walking. The cameraman is chasing. She's chasing. Exactly as you said, because we have had this conversation a couple of times since that night, the second Jamie Little steps on her own foot, falls down on camera, busts her face in front of the world, Sports Center, not top 10, they will make the rule. That would be not top 10, right?
Not top 10.
That's not, that's not top 10.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's it's good. It's just not the right thing to do. You have nowhere...
It's just disrespectful in the end.
Period. You have nowhere to go. You have nothing to do. Just stop, answer. You notice I'm not saying everybody. The official television rights holder. Whoever... Stop for live TV. When live TV gets you, you have to stop. This NASCAR driver's walking away garbage because they're so busy to get to the media center to sit down and talk to the people they hate anyway... is ridiculous. It's time for it to end. All right, I got some more comments. I want to talk about Joey Logano and the takes that I have seen since this. As everybody knows, I hate the coverage of NASCAR on television. I think it is the final thing holding back the sport of NASCAR. They have worked on everything except for the television commentary. They may not be able to fix it. It may not be able to be fixed, but I'm going to give you some examples anyway. Obviously, we have WFO Radio listeners who are out there at the event. That is very cool. And, of course, we will be at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals this weekend. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. I keep saying subscribe. You don't have to subscribe to the show. It is just the easiest way for you to receive everything we do. While we're in Indy, for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals NHRA race, the biggest race of the year, I'm hearing over 850 race cars. We're going to be doing a lot of interviews with a lot of legends. You're going to hear a lot of audio, and it's all presented by the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil. Get on WFOradio.com and click that banner ad, whether it be motor oil or gear oil or water wetter or one of the many products they offer. They're some of the best in the business, and they are the ones who have sent us to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals now for the past 3 years. And when I say us, I mean Giovanni, because I was going to be there anyway. Great stuff going on. What are you laughing at? You know it's true.
Thank you, Redline.
You're gonna be schlepping around with a microphone. It is gonna be great. If you wanna check it out, obviously subscribe to all our shows. Every time new audio goes up, you will get a notification. Or download the WFO Radio app. It is free. Or follow on Facebook and Twitter. It'll be out there. But we want all of our WFO Radio audience to be listening to the stuff we do. Thanks to the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil. Click on that banner ad. And if you want to get some Redline, you're thinking to yourself, well, I would like to get some Redline Synthetic Oil to support WFO Radio for my project car or collectible car or daily driver. But where do I get it? The word on the street is Amazon.com is where to get your Redline Synthetic Oil. You might have a local rep or dealer, but word is Amazon, Amazon, Amazon. Get your Redline oil there. You can find it through our banner ad on WFOradio.com. All right, when we return, we're going to talk fantasy results. We're going to talk IndyCar and Formula One. We're going to hear the hippy tippy. And then we got a couple other things. I want to get into this whole TV conversation. All when we return, right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at CMAX Dragway, September 12th to the 14th. There will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down CMAX Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest, Brown, and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at CMAX Dragway.
Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Whether you're a bracket racer who wants to get better or a thrill seeker looking to cross it off your bucket list, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School can put you on the right track. Don't believe me? Tell him, Frank.
No matter how little or how much experience you have, we've got a program for you. So if driving a dragster is on your bucket list, there's no better time than now. And if you'd like to be a pro, well, here's the newest funny car chap, Jack Beckman.
Hey, this is Jack Beckman. Long before I was Fast Jack, I was a bracket racer who went to the Frank Hawley School. The time I spent there was some of the most exciting, intense, and fulfilling moments ever in a race car. I feel the curriculum Frank developed greatly helped me win not only the Super Comp, but also the NHRA Nitro Funny Car Championship. Frank put me on the right track. What are you waiting for?
Call them at 866-480-7223. That's 866-480-7223. 480-7223 or visit frankhawley.com.
Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist.
I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO.
Hey, everybody. The summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something. Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone. Dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for Rodax Coffee and Grills.com.
Now, back to WFO Radio Ignition.
Welcome back to WFO Radio Ignition. That's right. We are headed to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals in Indianapolis, Indiana. And yet somehow, some way, we are still able to do the Ignition Show. Let's bring back the great Giovanni in Miami, who is on the phone line with us this week. Gio, how about the amazing technology of time-shifted media, where we can do a show for the audience and still be somewhere else?
It's great.
The Damone Five Reasons. Damone's Five Rules. Isn't this great? Wherever you are, act like it's the place to be. Tell me, though, before we get into our Fantasy League results, because the Bristol Night Race, the Irwin Tools Night Race, great stuff. We did not pick a winner. It was a fantasy debacle for me. But this abbreviated show, we got to hit everything quick because we are working so eagerly on the Chevrolet Performance U.S. National shows presented by the great folks at Redline Oil. It's going to be great stuff out there. What have you have planned for WFO?
Lots of interviews, lots of shows, lots of ins, lots of outs. It's going to be great. People are going to love it. Tune in and listen.
We're going to speak with Courtney Force about being in an earthquake with Graham Rahal out there in Sonoma. That was very interesting. Courtney got a little love on the IndyCar coverage. We'll talk about that later. But we're basically going to be catching up with all the insiders, the classics, the newsmakers, all the nostalgia stuff, all the current stuff out there at the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. So, folks, subscribe. And if you've got, meaning subscribe to the RSS feed or download the app or get it on Stitcher or listen on TuneIn or enable push notifications or follow us on Twitter, there's a million ways for you to hear what we are doing out there at Lucas Oil Raceway. It's going to be great. And so we hope that you come on board. Now, speaking of not great, let's get into the WFO Radio Fantasy League results, shall we?
Do we have to?
Yes.
All right, I guess if we have to.
It just goes to show that the best laid plans can turn to garbage at any given moment. And that's exactly what happened for me. I had a couple of different strategies going on. Total fail. Again, what are you going to do?
Yeah, something about mice and men, I hear you.
Right. It's just sad. This is not the year. It's just not the year. Maybe I will fare better in my Paulie the White Guy Fantasy Football League. Can you believe how silly am I? Let me bring the WFO audience in on this one. I am in a Fantasy Football League with some of my great friends. Friends from former radio jobs, friends. We had a 10-team league. I decided, since the Money Man was in town last week, you remember the Money Man was in town, right, Gio?
How can I forget?
Right. He made a pick on the show. It did not go very well. It was actually a terrible pick by the Money Man. But nonetheless, Money Man and Rich York of the Dirty Hippies were invited to expand our 10-team league to a 12-team league. Thus, all the worlds collide. Now we have to deal with the Dirty Hippies in another sport.
Worlds are colliding.
That's exactly right. The worlds are colliding. I don't know if it was the best judgment or not to bring the Dirty Hippies into the Fantasy Football League, but it is what it is.
Well, it's good and bad. Competition-wise, it's great because there's two more guys, but it also thins the pool of available players for everybody, so it's going to make it a little more difficult as the better players get more spread out.
Yeah, fewer great players will be on my team because Money Man and the Dirty Hippies will be taking some of them at very least. Well, it's about the friendship, and it's about the relationships with the friends. That's what it's all about. And this is a perfect example of us making a sacrifice for our friends.
Sacrifice.
I think next year we should have a WFO Radio Fantasy Football League with 60 teams in it, and everyone will play each other for one quarter.
Sure, whatever. Get out of here.
Here are the weekly winners in the WFO Fantasy NASCAR League after the Irwin Tools night race. Thanks to Patrick for getting them done so rapidly. The weekly winner is the Northwest Nitro Fanatics. Wow. Craig in Seattle, 347, man. He's doing good. This is going to be a big move this guy makes.
Wow, making a move to the front.
Brian in Louisiana, second with 341. DRT 20, 333. NAR, 332. Haven't heard from NAR in a long time. I know he's out there playing still in his special lady. But we haven't heard from NAR in a while. Father Time's Troopers, 329. Los Chincones, 326. Do you know that Cruz Pedregon has named one of his funny cars El Chincon? Am I saying that right? El Chincon.
El Chingon.
El Chingon. I feel like I'm saying it the same way you are. It just doesn't quite sound the same.
No, you don't sound spickish enough.
No, I guess not. I don't know that you should be using it. That's not the appropriate nomenclature.
I could use that word.
You are allowed to, but if you were a brother, I wouldn't want you using the N-word. Is that the same as the N-word?
Nah.
Cruz says it means a badass.
Yeah, you know, it's not a Well, Chingon is not like a slur.
Well, I said, what does El Chingon mean? And he says, it's just a badass.
Yeah, that's, I can see that. It's slang, you know? It's there's no direct translation that would do it justice. So just referring to it that it's just a badass, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Because Cruz has two cars now. He's got El Guapo, which we know El Guapo, we know what that means, and El Chingon, which is the badass. And he's making shirts and stuff. So maybe Lowe is going to have to get on board and get one of these Cruz Pedregon El Chingon shirts. But Lowe scored 326, so he's back in it. Had a good week, finally. Talk about a guy who fell off the planet. Max Bett, 325. Car Acrobatic Team, 321. That's Hawkins stuff. I haven't seen Hawkins stuff in weeks.
The schedule, man, the travel.
I know.
He's a busy guy, too.
No, he is. He is. As the enter, but I'm surprised. He got in the top 10. I'm surprised he's not knocking on the door. Moonchild, 320. Moonchild has been with us for so long. I can only hope. One can only hope that Moonchild is out there actually listening to the program as opposed to just playing in the fantasy league. But that is great to see Moonchild is still with us. And Craig and Sonora, 318. Those are the top 10. The most points, 347. The Northwest Nitro Fanatics. The biggest gainer is Father Time's Troopers, 329. That's up 13. And the biggest loser is Steve the Trucker, 195, down 9 positions.
Oh, boy.
I think Steve the Trucker sent me a tweet that he'll be in Indy. Is that right? I don't know. I might be confused. Here are the overall rankings. It's all blurring together right now, man. It's blurring together. Getting ready for the big WFO radio on-location broadcast presented by the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil. Go on to Amazon.com and get yourself some water wetter or some sort of Redline Oil product to support them for sending Giovanni in Miami. That's really what it's about, you know, to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. National. I was going to be there anyway. The overall leader is Pink Powder Puff Racing, continues to show the way, 169 points in front. Giovanni, this guy's got a big lead. We're not to the stretch yet, but wow, he's got to be thinking this could be it. Pink Powder Puff Racing.
We'll see. I don't know. I can't count the hippie out yet. He's only 400 points back. 12 weeks, 400 points. That's about 35 points a week. The hippie is very capable of making up 100 or 200 points in just one good week.
Yeah.
That's one good week, one bad week, and he'll knock that lead in half.
What is funny is that Pink Powder Puff Racing chose that name as a punishment for losing a bet the previous year. And what has got to be really fun and funny is that he's got to carry that name into first place. So he's getting all the hype, all the attention. Pink Powder Puff Racing with the pink tutu leading the way. If he becomes the league champion... with the punishment name. Do you get what I'm trying to say here?
I understand. I think it's hilarious, too.
It is. It's hysterical. It makes it funny, but also ruins it. He doesn't even get to choose his own name in the year that he maybe wins the title. That is a long way away, though. Imagine Pink Powder Puff Racing going on the WFO radio version of the BorgWarner Trophy.
Imagine that. Oh. That beautiful trophy inside the studio.
I know. Kyle Means Petty is second, 169 points back. Then a big gap, 232 back to 001 Red, who is having a great year. We got to say what's up to 001 Red. Youper 1 is fourth. Smothered and Covered is fifth. Sixth, Smothered and Covered is in there. Rumblers are sixth. Northwest Nitro Fanatics up 3 to 7th, 288 back. That means the Nitro Fanatics, they're in this for the overall win. If you say that the hippies have got a shot... everybody that's ahead of the hippies has a shot. Robertson Racing, 8th, 305 back. Team Jimmy J, 9th, 350 back. Miller Man, 2 Brian, 377 back in 10th. Clear Side, up 3 to 11, 402 back. The Avenging Abbeys, 12th, 408 back. And South Dakota Alicia, up 3 to 13th, 411 back. And then the Dirty Hippies, 415 back. In 14th.
I don't necessarily agree that everyone in front of the hippie has a chance. They theoretically have a chance, but they haven't proven that they can do it from that distance out there. Now, yes, they really do have a mathematical chance, but the hippie has a realistic, like a Vegas-type chance of catching up. I would put some money on the hippie to catch up. I don't necessarily trust any of those people in front of him. No offense to them.
No offense to them, but they are in front of him, and if you think he's
That's neither here nor there to me. This is, we're talking about a multiple time champion here.
Four.
That has proven that he can come back from great, great, great depths with not a lot of time remaining. So until he doesn't do it, we believe over here that he can.
You believe that he can win?
I believe that he can win.
I want you to, for a future show, go back into the archive and find out what was the comeback last year. Because it was like 300 points in a couple of races. He made a big charge to the front and just won it. It was very annoying to everybody.
I think we had called him out a couple times and that we actually thought he was done. And that didn't turn out to be a smart play.
No, he's got the whole chase mapped out. All right, enough about the dirty hippies. I'm just sick of hearing about the guy. He's out there. He's doing his thing. And, yeah, it is what it is. That's the bottom line. Now that he doesn't have a Formula One race to pay attention to because he knows his driver's not going to win, he's allocating all his time to fantasy. Up in Smoke 15, Going Chad 882 is 16. 17, for Zilch Racing, Rich and Saugus is 18th. No moving for Rich and Saugus. The Mominator up 9 positions. That's big for a Mominator. 19th. Team Strange is 20th. James Gang, 21st. Father Time, 22nd. Craig and Sonora, 23rd. The Aussie Battler, down 5, 24th. JG24LKB is 25th. And let's see, Stuart Racing in 99. Mrs. Dirty Hippies is down 3, 28th. Going in opposite directions. Elevator up, elevator down. Pavlov's Dogs is 29th, down 7, going 7, down 3. Super Trucker down 2 to 31st. Black Ice, 573 points out, 32nd. Steve the Trucker down 9. Lady Oz, 34th. The Man in Brown that's rooted the UPS guy climbs 5 positions. And looks like he's going to beat Lowe this year, and Lowe will have to chop off the finger. Remember, that was this year they bet that, right?
It sure is. I'll go pull the tape.
Pull the tape. Team 14, who is Mike, who instigated the Pink Powder Puff to change his name with the bet last year, I believe.
Yeah, he's got a long way to go. He's going to be changing his name. I bet you Pink Powder Puff's been thinking about that all season long, every time that he looks at himself in first place. He's like, what am I going to name this guy's team?
In a nice consolation prize, even if he does win, not win the championship, he is 600 points ahead of Team 14. I find it hard to believe that Team 14 is going to get back around Pink Powder Puff.
Yeah, not impossible, but very, very, very highly unlikely.
Aviator Racing, 37th. Tennessee Money Man, who was just here, 38th. And Little Low, 39th. Let's see. Hockey Dad is 43rd, and Specialty Sportswear is 44th. Eat My Dust is 46th. So Money Man has leapfrogged above his Mrs. Money Man. Kramer Power is 49th, down 4, fail. Jimmy Fan Go 48, down 3, bad week. Car Acrobatic Team up 5, we already talked about that. Los Jincones up 6, 53rd. Spark It Up, 54th. Vegas Baby, that's Bob Smith, 55th. And there's Gio. Gio and Bob Smith, just 10 points apart.
Oh, how horrible. What a terrible season I'm having. I'm 50-something?
56.
Ah. Oh.
Sacramento Racing Fan is 57th, and NAR 58th, and Night Kids are 59th. Hey, Vladdy is still playing again. Vladdy's getting himself off the mat.
And he was in the top 10.
He was.
He used up all his allocations. I'm not going to think that Vladdy just quit and that's why he dropped.
No, he forgot for like a couple months for some reason out there. Something made him lose all his drive and determination. I just do not know what it is. Bulls Wolf, 61st. Let's see. Five Can Drive, Elephant Racers, Restrictor Plate is 65th. Oh, no. Brian in Louisiana is 67th. And 68th, WFO Joe. I am 13 points behind the paper plate. That is my new target. I have decided that this season, as I am 68th, cannot be salvaged in terms of an overall victory. Gio, I know you're surprised, but at 994 points behind the leader, I am saying I cannot win it. I'm out of it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you here. It would take... So something short of a miracle.
Miracle, which is not possible. But for me, my season can be entirely salvaged by finishing ahead of Paper Plate. That will make everything worth it for me. It is now mano a mano, WFO Joe versus the Paper Plate. I have renewed enthusiasm to try to finish ahead of 65th. How about this exciting development? Brian in Louisiana is in there. D Humps Racing with the registered trademark is 69th. Mr. Where Did He Come From? And Patrick's NASCAR Rubbing doesn't even deserve his name being said. It's so terrible. Flashover Racing, Go Baby Go, everybody just failing. Team English, failing. Hockey Kid,
embarrassing.
Failing. I think Hockey Kid gave up. Hockey Kid, you know, hit the puberty, got interested in girls, forgot the password, hasn't played.
Come on, it only takes one night a week to... Oh, I'm not going to talk about forgetting to change your team, but I'm still ahead of you, Hockey Kid. You dropped the anchor and you stopped playing. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Hooper, that's Paulie the white guy. He's 2,496 points back. I think Hooper should be banned. Really? Come on, man. Come on, Paulie the white guy. You are ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what? I think he should cover our entrance fee into this fantasy football league for being such a failure in our league.
I'll go with it. And Lawn Slave looks like he gave up a long time ago. Texas Bushwhacker and Hot Rod Lincolns, they all gave up a long time ago. They're like thousands and thousands of points behind. They can't possibly be trying. And those are the Fantasy League results for the WFO Radio Fantasy League. And now it's time to find out what to do for next week with a Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy.
This is the Dirty Hippies with your tip of the week. Great, great F1 weekend. The whole race was awesome. We finally found out what the Achilles heel of Mercedes. You just need to pit them against each other. They just need to wreck each other each week, and everyone else has a shot. I think that's what we need to do going forward. And Joe and Gio, can you please send a memo to Alonso to stop trying to take out my boy Vettel? He's having a tough enough year already. Let him alone. Let him finish fifth or sixth for the rest of the year. At least let him be. Cup guys going to Atlanta this week. I don't really care who's on the entry list. Whoever you got that you've been saving all year long, your big guns, this is the time to use them. Logano, Keselowski, Johnson, Harvick, Larson, and Dillon. Those are the guys you need to use the rest of the way. Hopefully you saved them. And last but not least, another terrible, terrible, boring race in the IRL. Get them off the road courses. Please get them back on the ovals. That's the Dirty Hippies. That's your tip of the week.
There it is, the Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy. Rich, breaking down the knowledge for this weekend's NASCAR Sprint Cup Series action. Now, in terms of Formula One, though, we got a big controversy. IndyCar and Formula One this past week, very, very interesting stuff. First of all, IndyCar, there was an earthquake. Big earthquake out there in Napa Valley, 6.0 on the Richter scale, and a lot of the racers said flat out that they thought they were going to, quote-unquote, die. They thought they were going to die. It was scary. It was the most scared Elio had ever been, yada, yada, et cetera, and so on. But the race went on. Graham Rahal was leading late, but had to pit for fuel, and... it was a pretty entertaining race. Courtney Force got a little bit of love on the broadcast. But Scott Dixon wins the race. Ryan Hunter Ray second. Will Power, the championship leader, made a very bold move at the end. And now there is one race to go. Things can happen. But it is looking like Will Power would have to have a major collapse with a 51-point lead over Elio Castroneves. So Elio may end up as a bridesmaid once again. The move that Will Power made at the end showed you the guy's determination. He didn't have to do it. He was on orders not to make a move, and he risked it all to gain 2 points. I thought that was cool.
Totally. It was not a recommended move. He went three wide where there should definitely not have been three wide. He was hitting push to pass when they told him not to because he was running out of fuel. And the safe thing would have been to just stay in line behind both of those cars. But he stuck his nose in there. He got another spot, I think, made up, what, two or three spots on the last lap because of that move. Extends his lead, and it definitely does not look good for Helio once again.
Yeah, I love Helio. He's a great person, and just unfortunate that when pushed, he's the Mark Martin of IndyCar racing. Except,
oh, that's exactly what I thought right there. He's Mark Martin of IndyCar.
Except he's not, though, because he has three
Indy 500 wins. No, it's much different. He's got, I think his credentials are slightly better, realistically.
They really are. Helio is on a different planet. He could win another Indy 500 and then be tied with the most of all time. So he just hasn't put it together for a championship. But, yes, we love moves like Will Power made, as long as they work.
Yeah, it's high risk and high reward, I guess.
It shows the mind of the racer. It shows that he is, at the end of it, they are determined racers, and they got the job done. Now, in Formula One, Spa, Francorchamps, Eau Rouge, it was awesome. It was a great race, but really came down to exactly what we thought it was going to be, Mercedes versus Mercedes, and on the opening lap, Nico Rosberg gets into Lewis Hamilton, cuts down Lewis's tire, and the feud at Mercedes is burning. Daniel Ricciardo wins the race. That's three wins for the number two driver at Red Bull. Zero wins for Sebastian Vettel. And they've been saying that Vettel is tired and exhausted mentally from the 4 years of winning. And as much as I would like to put it in... Rich's face, I think that... it is what it is. He went four championships back to back to back. You earn something. But Ricciardo has been amazing. You got to give him credit. Wow, what a talent. That having been said, the Mercedes situation is pretty crazy. Now, you might be saying, well, what happened? Lewis Hamilton came out after the race and said that Nico did it on purpose. How would he know that? Well, here are some quotes. Lewis Hamilton, this is from Planet F1, said, "It looked quite clear to me, but we just had a meeting about it," and he basically said he did it on purpose. Lewis Hamilton saying that Nico said, "I did it on purpose." Quote, "He said he did it on purpose. He said he could have avoided it. He said, I did it to prove a point." That's a quote. He said, basically, "I did it to prove a point. And you don't have to just rely on me," Lewis says. "Go ask Toto Wolff. Go ask Patty Lowe. And all those guys who are not happy with him as well." Wow. So Lewis Hamilton basically saying that Nico admitted to hitting Lewis, cutting his tire, and severely damaging his teammates' championship hopes. That's pretty big. That's rough.
Wow, that's as bad as it gets. This is worse than Lewis and Alonso back at McLaren.
Well, hold on a minute, because I've got a great analysis here. Wolff, though, this is Toto Wolff, who is managing the team, says that the German's comments were misinterpreted, that Nico's comments were misinterpreted by Lewis. He simply didn't want to give his teammates space. Toto Wolff says Nico felt he needed to hold his line. He needed to make a point. And for Lewis, it was clearly not him who needed to be aware of Nico. He, Rosberg, didn't give in. He thought it was for Lewis to leave him space, and that Lewis didn't leave him space. So they agreed to disagree in a very heated discussion amongst ourselves, but it wasn't deliberately crashing. That is nonsense, Toto Wolff says about Lewis Hamilton's comments. It was deliberately taking into account that if Lewis moves or would open, then it could end up in a crash. Wolff admits that Rosberg should have avoided such an incident so early in the race. "We had a collision that could have been avoided, a second lap collision. It was Nico who attacked, and he shouldn't have done it. It was also to show that he was not prepared to give in. With hindsight, if he could turn back time, Nico would probably not do it again in the way that he did," says Toto Wolff. He added, "It doesn't change the scenario at all, because the incident, as I see it, is not acceptable for us. What we saw there was that Nico was not prepared to take the exit, and that caused the collision. That is not something we want to happen," says Toto Wolff about Nico Rosberg getting deliberately into Lewis Hamilton, the two Mercedes teammates. Wow, this is brutal. I have an analysis. Are you ready?
Hit me.
Okay. I could sum it up. This is an abbreviated show since we're on our way to the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari. That's the final conclusion. Now let me work backwards from Lewis Hamilton to Ferrari. Since you mentioned Alonso and Hamilton, and you know they've talked about it, Lewis Hamilton is British. Nico Rosberg is German. What is Mercedes?
German.
German. And if someone of their two teammates, I hate to say this, but this is, to me, it seems there is a bias. Is it wrong that I say that? Why would Mercedes, the German auto manufacturer, making a huge investment, want their German racer to win as opposed to their British racer? Why? It seems pretty clear. And even Toto Wolff's explanation, to me, reeks of bias. Lewis was in front. Nico cuts down the tire, goes on to finish second, takes a commanding lead in the championship. I'm siding with Lewis on this one. But if it results in Lewis showing up in a Ferrari when his contract is up, I'm all for it.
Bring him on.
That's all you got? You don't have any opinion on Nico cutting down Lewis's tire on purpose?
I thought it was terrible. How could the guy in second place even suggest that the leader should have to change his line for him? Oh, he should have watched out and known I was there. He should have known I was trying to make a move and change his line to avoid hitting me. Get out of here with that, Nico. You're in big trouble, buddy. Lewis is going to be after you now. There's going to be trouble. If they didn't have such a big lead over there, I'd be a little bit afraid that they could lose the Constructors. But looking over here at the Constructor standings, they got almost a 160-point lead over the Red Bull. So what are you going to do? They can fight a few races, and they'll figure it out.
Nico, 220. Lewis, 191. Remember, the final race is going to be double points. And so that suddenly factors in a big, big way. Daniel Ricciardo, 156 in third. Fernando Alonso, fourth. And Valtteri Bottas is fifth. Alonso driving like a hero again. Gets his wing clipped off at the very end of the race. It's just a shame. The Ferrari is a sled. They're still third in the Constructors. It's somehow a miracle. But they are third behind Red Bull and, of course, Mercedes. But did you hear how many people booed Nico on the podium? So much so that Eddie Jordan had to come out and tell the crowd, no, leave him alone, leave him alone. I think that Nico is becoming a villain in this, and that he wants it so bad, and that Mercedes is maybe, I'd like to hear opinions on this, showing a little bias towards their German driver for the German auto manufacturer. And you know those Germans are real into the nationalism, folks. Unlike we here in the United States, where we don't care about nationalism and patriotism, and we are mostly concerned with whichever manufacturer can give us the best deal and the cheapest price, the Germans are very interested in patriotism and nationalism, and they desperately would like to see Nico Rosberg win in a Mercedes. So I think that a lot of people are going to be pulling for Lewis just for that.
Let's see what happens. It wouldn't be surprising if that's exactly what happened. But let's see. Lewis, I think, is a superior driver, so maybe he can overcome the Mercedes strategy coming in from admin down.
I was rooting for Nico, and now I kind of am feeling different. I kind of feel like something extra is going on here. That's just me. And there you have it. The next race, 12 days away, Italy, Monza, very, very fast track. You thought that the Red Bull had no wing on its back out there at Spa. Wait for Monza. There'll be nothing. They're going to take the wing off. And there you have it.
Going to go without one,
no
huh?
Wing, just nothing. Just a narrow piece of paper out there. And there you have it. So there's Formula One, there's IndyCar, and our fantasy results. Now I want to tell you about the great folks at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. If you are looking for an experience of a lifetime, Frank Hawley can bring it to you. FrankHawley.com is where you want to go, or call 866-480-7223. They've got licensing programs. They've got group events. If you want to go out for a corporate event or a media day or a ride and drive event, team building, work outing, bachelor party, whatever you want to do, they have got a plan for you at Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. Give them a call. Tell them you heard it on WFO Radio. 866-480-7223. You like that bachelor party idea, right? Or, of course, the Dragster Adventure and the Dragster Adventure Challenge. September 4th and 5th coming up in Reading, Pennsylvania. Are you going to be there? You got to try it. It's super cool. You are driving, you are racing, and you're doing it all yourself. Open a browser, go to frankhawley.com to find out more, or call 866-480-7223 and tell them you heard it on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer, or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Hey everybody, the summer is here, and that means it's time to grill. Remember just a couple of months ago when you were freezing and you were thinking, I can't wait until I can get out there and grill something? Well, now you can, and if you're going to do it, you got to do it with the most awesome barbecue rubs going. Check out Rodak's Coffee and Grills.com. Marvin Rodak, a big NHRA fan and WFO radio listener, has award-winning spice rubs that you can order online or by phone. Go to RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com, 817-924-6821. I just tried two new hot sauces that he's got going. The perfect condiment if you're grilling out this summer. Also, coffee in the morning. Marvin roasts his own blends. You got to try them out. RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Or if you want to kick it old school, pick up the phone, dial 817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, I heard about you on WFO. I want you to send me some coffee and barbecue rub, maybe some hot sauce, and it'll show up in the mail. That's 817-924-6821 for RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com.
Android and iPhone users, download the WFO Radio app. It's sports radio for racing fans.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The ultimate racing show, including WFO Radio NHRA Nitro, WFO Radio Ignition, the WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party, news, videos, push notifications, and more.
I just hope I'm part of it.
Go to the App Store or Android Market, search WFO Radio, and download it now.
Now.
Get ready for takeoff, race fans. The NHRA Carolina Nationals are back at C-Max Dragway. September 12th to the 14th, there will be no speed limits. These road rockets fly down C-Max Dragway at 330 miles per hour. All the superstars. Watch Forrest Brown and Schumacher push the outer limits of speed. Best of all, kids are free and every ticket is a pit pass. Call 1-800-455-FANS. The NHRA Carolina Nationals, September 12th to the 14th, only at C-Max Dragway.
WFO.
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 WFO!
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 Totally nonstop WFO, baby.
Here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO! Final segment on WFO Radio Ignition. Let's bring back the great Giovanni in Miami, the realtor, our realtor friend. How are those condos going?
Great. Everything's hot. It's moving. It's about to get cold everywhere else, and it's about to stay nice and warm down here. You're all welcome to come on down.
That's actually pretty funny. Do you think we have anybody in WFO Nation that is interested in moving to sunny South Florida, Miami, Florida, and purchase a condo in one of the new 47 condominium towers that are being built on the beautiful Atlantic Ocean?
Oh, there's got to be somebody that wants to come down here.
I think so, too. I was just down there. Where was I? I was at the Cadillac ATS coupe unveil this past week. Anybody that follows me on Twitter or Instagram saw the two-door Cadillac ATS. We'll have a story up on WFO Radio very, very soon. I got to tell you, gorgeous Cadillac, total home run. Now, I know I've said that before, and I have been right every single time. But this is a 500-foot home run. This is out.
Well, I've seen the regular four-door one, and I think it's really nice. It would be something I would consider if I was in the market.
Me too. I almost like it better than the CTS.
Well, if I get crazy now, it's smaller.
Well, it is a little smaller, but see what the difference is. See what happened is, because you know I have a CTS-V, and when my car was made, it was kind of sized in between a BMW 3 and a BMW 5 and competed kind of with both and neither at the same time. Cadillac has split the car, basically, and upsized the CTS to compete against the BMW 5 Series and downsized the ATS to compete against the BMW 3 Series. And so if I was going to get a Beamer, it would be a 3 Series. But I can't wait for the ATS Coupe V. You can see it. It's got 50-50 weight balance. It's lighter. It is going to be a fantastic sports car as soon as they get around to doing it. I can see the DNA already. Whenever the ATS Coupe V comes out, it's going to go toe-to-toe with the M Series, and it might beat it if the people at General Motors have their way. I was loving it. But I told you that story to tell you this one. Condos all over South Beach, Giovanni, in Miami. All over the place. It's out of control, the things that they are building down there. I know a lot of people in a lot of places are saying, oh, you know, the economy, and I don't know what's going on, and my job, they're not giving me a raise. All I know is that they are building and building and building all over South Beach.
All over South Beach, all over Brickell, all over Midtown, all over downtown, all over. They are not leaving any little bit of land unbuilt down here.
Apparently, the rumors of the demise of Miami following the departure of A1 LeBron James have been greatly exaggerated.
It would appear so.
People still, for some reason, want to come here.
You know, I think the hottest thing in Miami was not LeBron.
What was it? What is it?
It's the weather, man.
Yeah, it is. It's the ocean and the weather. So since we have spent now 3 minutes shilling for Giovanni and Miami's real estate venture. Hey, man, one of our WFO listeners, it'd be the best thing they ever did. All right, moving on. I said earlier I wanted to talk about the television takes, and I do have a problem. This bothers me. Watching some of the shows, and I will not call out any one show in particular, NASCAR America on NBC Sports Nation, or whatever it is, I just don't like the questions that are asked. I think they are designed to create false controversy. I'll give you an example. Joey Logano has just scored the sixth win of his career. He is 24 years old. He came up as a rookie at 18 years old. And so now that he is, it's finally, like, the kid is exactly what they expected him to be. Exactly. He's clearly becoming a dominant force in the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. So why ask the question, was he brought up too early? See, to me, the question, was he brought up too early, is way off tone, because are you under the assumption that, like, he should have stayed in the Nationwide Series and he would be having the same amount of success? If he had not come up when he did come up, he might not be having the success he's having now for 2 years, say. Maybe the experience that he gained over this period is part of the reason he's having the success he's having now. I think it's, what is the word? Counterfactual? You just take whatever the facts are and go against them? Yeah, he's winning now. Wow, he was brought up too early. Look, he should have been brought up when he was 24. If it was his rookie year now, would he be doing as well? I just think it's totally pointless. Is Penske a better team than Hendrick? Say what? Like, what is the point of that question? You've got two teams running great, both with multiple drivers with three wins, getting ready for the playoffs or the chase, what is that question about? They're both great. They're all great. It's going to be a battle royal. It's going to be a rumble in the jungle. Is it a better team? We're going to find out. Let's talk about what the matchups are and the combinations. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I just got this big beef. It's troublesome.
What are you going to do? Some of those shows are really terrible. I'm not even going to say anything about them. They're terrible. Terrible. You know what the real question is? What happened at Gibbs? How come somebody couldn't see that Joey Logano was going to turn into this, that they groomed him all those years and brought him up and just wasted that talent and just let it go? I mean, I understand they're happy with their veteran drivers now, but I don't know. Who's better? Who would you take now? Would you take Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, or Joey Logano?
Or Carl Edwards. Like, throw all the Gibbs drivers out there and put him against Joey Logano, and who would you take? Let's go one at a time, just for fun. Ready? Joey Logano versus Denny Hamlin.
Man, I have to say Joey Logano. I think maybe Denny Hamlin's time and window has come and gone. It could be a really long time before he has another opportunity to get it all together. Jimmy Johnson shut his window real quick.
Joey Logano, Matt Kenseth.
I guess historically you have to say Kenseth is a champion and you can't take that away from him, but at this point in their careers, Kenseth has seen his better days. Joey Logano is a rising star, up and coming, 24 years old. He's got a whole career in front of him.
Kenseth old, exactly. Joey Logano, Kyle Busch.
You know how I feel about Kyle Busch. I think he's a great talent. I think he's a great driver, but I just don't think he's mentally stable enough to ever win it.
Joey Logano, Carl Edwards.
Carl Edwards could come to Gibbs and actually be the guy that wins the championship and all that. I can see why they would take Carl Edwards, but personally, I'd rather have Joey Logano.
Wow. See, I might take Carl Edwards. I agreed with you on all of them except for Carl Edwards. I think I would probably take Carl Edwards over Joey. He's more likable and marketable, and I think he's just as good a driver. So
yeah, Joey's got more upside, in my opinion, than Carl Edwards, though.
Well, the youth is hard to go against. Joey and Kyle Busch have the same amount of Sprint Cup championships, by the way. I just want to point that out. They're tied. Dude is a round.
Hey, Joey Logano has doubled his career wins this season. That's incredible. That's awesome. That's good for him. And he's getting tutored and has driven now for Penske for a couple of seasons and has seen Brad Kay go through his championship run. And there's something to be said about that experience and what you gain from it and seeing what it takes to be a champion.
Roger Penske's entire team, both of which who have won three races this year, are drivers that couldn't create opportunities for themselves at other teams. That's not the best way to say it, but Brad was at Hendrick, and it came out in an interview. He was very bummed out that he had to leave Hendrick Motorsports. They could not figure out how to make it work. Roger Penske, he becomes a champion almost immediately. He is able to deliver for Roger Penske what so many others had failed over 20 years. And now Joey Logano, another, I don't want to call it a scrap heap driver because that's not accurate, but they just couldn't get...
No, but you could say a young guy that lost his ride, that had lost his ride.
Lost his ride.
A premier ride.
The media were riding Joey Logano out of the sport on a rail, if you remember.
I totally remember.
He's going to lose his ride. He's not going to be in the Sprint Cup Series anymore. Joey Logano.
They were wondering if he could even get a nationwide car ride.
They were doing the build you up to tear you down move. They were in the tear you down move. This guy was sliced bread. He's so great. He's going to be great. Why isn't he great? What's the problem? Oh, he's not great. He's not winning. Oh, it's the wrong thing. They brought him up too early. Oh, he's out of here. He's Casey Atwood. That's it. He's gone. They failed. Oh, wait. He's great. And that's basically where we're at right now. The kid is exactly as advertised. Pretty impressive. Got to give him credit. Joy. Let's look at the standings. Jeff Gordon has the most points, but it doesn't really much matter because he's got 3 wins. Dale Jr.'s got 3 wins. Brad Kay's got 3 wins. Joy has 3 wins. And Jimmy Johnson has 3 wins. What do those teams all have in common?
They're all teammates.
Well, they're teammates, and they come from 2 different teams. Hendrick and Penske.
Three from Hendrick, 2 from...
Right. I saw on NASCAR America, I saw Frankie Stoddard say that he felt like Penske was at a disadvantage because they only have 2 teams with 3 wins as opposed to 3 teams with 3 wins, and I didn't get that at all, considering Brad won the championship 2 years ago with 1 team.
No, and they don't operate as 4 equal teams. They operate as 2 separate 2-car teams.
Yeah, I don't...
So...
The takes, man, the takes. I don't get them. I don't understand. Kevin Harvick has 2 wins. He's 6th. Then Carl Edwards with 2. Then Kyle Busch, Denny Hamlin, A.J. Allmendinger, Kurt Busch, and Eric Almirola all have 1 win. Kenseth is locked in because of the points. And the spots that are available are Ryan Newman, 14th, Clint Bowyer, 15th, and Greg Biffle, currently in 16th, and he has got a pretty decent lead on Kyle Larson for 17th.
26-point lead on Kyle Larson, but the big thing is, though, there's 2 races left, so 2 guys could get on the block and essentially block out Biffle, 2 of Newman, Bowyer, or Biffle, 2 out of those 3.
And this is why the new system is so much more interesting, because a guy like KFK, who was wailing and screaming and crying just the other night, or Jamie McMurray, could go to Richmond and 2 races and win it and get in, dramatically get in. That could, in fact, happen. So that is pretty exciting. Now, will it happen? Who knows? But it definitely could happen, and that's why they did it. That is the whole reason.
Yeah, it's a great system. I don't know if you've seen the new spot with the grid explanation. I thought that was very good. I like the bracket madness, whatever it is they want to call it. I think that...
It's called the grid.
The grid, right? Yeah,
Chase
the grid. The grid madness, we'll call it.
They should just call it.
It's got a little play on the bracket madness.
I'll be filling out my bracket. We're going to be filling out brackets on WFO. And we got more night racing this Saturday night. Or this Sunday night, rather, because
Sunday
it's
night.
Labor Day weekend.
Sunday.
We're going to be in Indy.
Yes, we will. But we will be tuned in.
Or it'll be USA 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And then the following week, Richmond. And that's it. 2 races to go. You got a ton of drivers that are trying to get in. And Casey Kane got his first win in Richmond. That's something to remember. And the only reason I know that is because I was there.
Well, very good.
Yeah, that's my big stat. I was there for Casey Kane's first win, KFK. We are.
Is that when he was driving the Dodge car?
Yep. Tony Stewart ran 2nd. We were me and Slash. We were there, and we were walking around, and we enjoyed it. We left with 60 laps to go because we did not want to get caught in traffic. I know that's bad to admit, but it is true. And we also knew Casey Kane was just going to drive home to victory, and he did. I'll tell you, looking at these guys that are on the outside looking in, there's several of them that could get a win, but I think it's Jamie McMurray, Casey Kane, Kyle Larson could dramatically get in.
Atlanta, it's a fast track, and one of these guys with the horsepower under the hood can sneak in. Even Austin Dillon, you never know. Somebody over there at Childress, they've got good engines. They've got a good engine package. He could win in Atlanta. You never know. Somebody finds that package in Atlanta. It's a fast track. It's great. We've been there. It's fun.
It's
a mess track. We love the hospitality at those places.
Absolutely. And it's WFO in that inexperienced drivers find a way to win. Look at Kevin Harvick after the Dale Earnhardt passing. Think of all the times that a new, fresh, young driver is able to go out to Atlanta. Carl Edwards in 2004 and excel. So it is not beyond the realm of possibility. Well, all right, Giovanni, I think this has been an excellent program, especially those people who are traveling to Indy. I want to remind everybody to check out our sponsors, like our great friend Marvin Rodak at Rodak's Coffee and Barbecue Grills, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Just go to the banner ad on the front page of WFO Radio and click on it. Be sure to get yourself some WFO Radio Blend. Giovanni, are you enjoying the WFO Radio Blend?
I'm all geeked up for the coffee, man.
Yeah, you loving the coffee now that we've got Marvin and the WFO Radio Blend. It's like it's changed our lives.
Marvin, I got to say I've drank more coffee in this last year than I ever did in the previous 40 years of my life.
There it is. Give him a call.
That is a fact.
817-924-6821. Say, hey, Marvin, these guys on WFO are talking about you. We want to support the show. We want the WFO Radio Blend. And they've got spices and hot sauces and everything that has to do with grilling, including barbecue grills. You can order a grill through Marvin if you want. Obviously, they sell a lot of different things. You just got to talk to them about it. 817-924-6821. At very least, like them on Facebook and Twitter. They are on social media, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. Check out the WFO Radio Blend, and be sure to tell them you heard it here on WFO Radio. Giovanni, next time I see you, we will be in Indianapolis, Indiana, for the biggest drag race on planet Earth, perhaps the biggest race on Earth. Over 800 cars entered in the 60th Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Any thoughts before you head out there to Indy?
Yeah, see you at St. Elmo's.
Actually, I'm going to St. Elmo's on Tuesday night to get the shrimp cocktail. I don't believe you'll be in town at that point. It's a kind of a timing.
Well, I guess they're going to have to make a second run when I get there.
Little bit of a bummer. I don't know if we're going to have time on the schedule for that. But I'll tell you what I will do. I will post some photographs to the WFO Radio Facebook page of my shrimp cocktail. How about that?
Yeah, I think I got a bad connection. I can't hear anything.
That will be just as good as you actually going to St. Elmo's.
Not to me.
All right, well, we'll negotiate about it once we get up there and figure it out. Bottom line, we are going to have a great time. And, yes, of course, we're going to go to St. Elmo's. Folks, it's going to be great.
And listen out for the Vegas picks. We're going to try to post a show on Friday at some point in that early afternoon, too.
Yeah, we're doing the show early so we can travel, but we are going to try to do our picks. And I will be picking first, and I do not know who I will be picking. Also, I want to remind everybody to check out Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School at frankhawley.com. Big sponsors of WFO Radio. And it is an experience that you will absolutely love to do. They're heading to Reading, Pennsylvania in September. You got to check it out. It will be very, very cool. Go on to frankhawley.com to find out more. Also, got a lot of feedback last week. You remember I mentioned about the Chinese hats versus the American hats?
Absolutely.
You remember that, right?
Yes.
The WFO Radio audience has weighed in. Overwhelmingly, they want the inexpensive Chinese-made hats.
They want the dollar store item.
That's exactly what the WFO Radio audience said. They said they are eager to fund the Three Gorges Dam project and the Chinese military by purchasing more dollar store items. And so, thanks to the vote by the WFO Radio audience, we will be getting our hats made in China. Isn't that exciting?
Isn't it great?
Yes, isn't this great? The Chinese hats and the bigger profit margin. Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank would love us.
He's ready to invest now.
Exactly. In the WFO Radio brand. None of that is true, folks. No, actually, one of our WFO Radio listeners, I'm not going to say who it is, it's Matt Man, said whichever looks cooler. He doesn't care where it was made. He says whichever is just cooler. But all but Matt Man said gladly would pay the couple dollars extra for the American-made product. Everyone but Matt Man. And Matt Man didn't say he was against the American-made product. Matt Man said whichever is cooler appearing. This is all stuff we can rehash when we are in Indianapolis and gathering audio from the DSR open house and all of these different things. Thanks to the folks at Redline Synthetic Oil. and we're making sure we get all our sponsors mentioned in at the tail end of the show. And what I would say to you, first-time listener, is subscribe to the show, listen all weekend, check back next week, and by that point, I'm sure you'll be addicted and want to be part of the WFO radio. Thanks to Rich for the Dirty Hippie Fantasy Tippy. Now that he's in our fantasy football league, it's taken to a whole nother gear. Something else that Rich can beat us at. There's no comment from Gmail. That's typical, I guess. And that's going to do it, folks. Gio, any final thoughts?
Enjoy the race.
There you have it. And we'll see you in Indianapolis for the Chevrolet Performance U.S. Nationals. Thanks to everyone for helping behind the scenes. And remember, share the show. You are our best way of bringing on new listeners, and we always love new listeners. We'll see you in Indianapolis right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.